You're now listening to Sound Talent Media. Check out more shows at soundtalentmedia.com.
I woke up with this feeling. There was something I needed to say. So I wrote you a song. Lately, girl, I've been dreaming. Dreaming about you all through the day.
Got it.
So I wrote you a song.
Whenever you're ready, Pat.
Welcome to Axe to Grind, the hardcore podcast. I'm Patrick.
I'm Bob.
And I'm Tom, apparently recording from a cave, according to one Eric Wilson of Worst Possible Timeline.
All right, let's just get into it. Shots were fired.
Shots were fired. I don't listen to that tripe, but I had a friend point out that, you know, first minute in, you guys are talking mad garbage about us, about me, about my mic discipline, even though I don't touch any of the fucking buttons and I leave the microphone. Like, of course, if we're like bullshitting, now we already have like the R rating on like the cursing first 30 seconds. Sorry. But if I'm like talking to you guys and it's not like on the air, or like if I'm like looking to do something, because I mean, maybe I'm not talking directly into the microphone. But like, mm-hmm. You act like I have like the microphone in my hand like I used to, and I'd, you know, be moving it all over the place. It's on a stand in front of my mouth.
You remember the movie Joe's Apartment?
Not with the roaches and
yeah. So
and
the, making no
the chubby making, dude that became handsome. What was it?
Jerry O'Connell.
Jerry O'Donnell.
O'Connell.
Yeah.
Listen. I'm not suggesting that you got a roach problem. It's just Queens. So my point is that maybe a little friend comes in the middle of the night and changes your levels.
The tooth fairy comes and changes. Got it.
Is this part of the grand worst possible timeline conspiracy theory? Like, do you think?
No, this is us trying to clout up off of Tom.
Well, I mean, yeah, he's definitely trying to build up. I mean, you know, the bands are doing well. You know, I was on Ace's podcast. Like, they're just trying to climb up my back. And then 10 seconds later, they're like, this woman is unattractive. And I was like, click, and I turned it off.
I was talking about Julia Fox, and she's obviously not unattractive. She has an unattractive energy. Thank you. I'll stand by.
Yeah, you are talking about it. She's like, look at this woman. I was like, yeah, she's gorgeous. Everyone saw Uncut Gems and were like, I mean, and then she said Uncut Gems, and then everybody was over it.
But like, made me like her more.
Yeah, I agree with that. I kind of liked her better after that. All right, let's get to talking about hardcore.
Let's shout out our sponsors to start the day. Let's start by saying thank you and hello to Closed Casket Activities.
Ooh, kombucha.
Thank you and hello to Death Wish Inc.
Cowabunga.
But really, let's say good morning, good afternoon, and good night to Live a Lie.
Hot coffee.
And our good friends over at Run for Cover Records.
Guacamole.
Guys, I'm going to start us on the fast side. Let's go to Live a Lie. On some truly fast stuff, they have, I think you guys are aware, they've been working with 625 Thrashcore. Supporters of Axe to Grind 2, shout out 625. There was a discography released by a Bay Area band from the early 2000s, Stockholm Syndrome. This was way better than I remembered. I remembered it being good. I remembered it being like very serviceable, faster, hardcore, et cetera, et cetera. But it never stuck to my bones. But I recently gave this the full, like, all right, let me give it some ears. It's right there. If you like stuff like DS13, if you're not familiar with that era of hardcore, DS13, Tear It Up, Life's Halt, What Happens Next-ish stuff. I think a good comp for this is the No Way stuff, or even from a little later than that, or Career Suicide. It's on the more punk side of hardcore, but it's plenty fast for the hardcore kid to get into it. I think this is a really good discography and worth some attention. Stockholm Syndrome, Death Watch LP. It's up for pre-order right now. And you know what? When I was looking for stuff to shout out, obviously, there's the Spy Service Weapon reissue, the repress on purple vinyl, fourth press. Apparently these go over and over and over. So,
you hear me on this podcast. I'm sure our listeners pick it up. Whenever anything goes past three pressings, you just hear me be impressed. Because for our listeners that haven't maybe put out records or don't keep up with this sort of shit, that's not easy, man. It's not easy. It's a fucking uphill battle. Shout out to them.
When you sell out one press, you should feel great. When you have to repress, it's like, damn. A lot of times, I've put out records where I sell out the first press and then I repress and I've had plenty for people to get their hands on. Selling out repressings over and over, awesome. But that's not what I'm talking about. I want to talk about the band Obsolete Man. From what I know, relatively newer band, last couple of years. Again, Bay Area. West Bay? Ooh, I don't know what that even means. Is that? Yeah, I think West Bay means Bay Area still, not South Bay, which that's down in Southern California.
West Bay.
West Bay. Is that Santa Cruz?
That's one of our listeners pulling their hair out right now and drafting us a DM.
Isn't that like Oakland or like Berkeley?
No, that's the East Bay. East Bay, remember?
Yes.
So west of the Bay. Well, whatever.
West of the Bay is the water. I thought whatever.
Well, west of the Bay, you have that little stick out where it's like Stanford. Is it Palo Alto? Is this Palo Alto hardcore?
This is Stanford hardcore. It's for AI. It's for Peter Thiel.
Yeah, Theranos and Clint Kanopka. You know, we got you.
I mean, Jawbreaker has a song West Bay Invitational, so it definitely exists.
Okay.
And
it was all right, in the 90s. Yes.
So, Obsolete Man, glory be to the bomb. Cassette. I like the name. Two, I love the artwork. Three, it was enough that I clicked on it to see what it's all about. Fast hardcore. They describe it as power violence. This doesn't hit me as power violence. The riffs are too heavy. The vocal line is, vocally, this reminds me a touch of something like Incendiary, but over more of a heavier punk touches of the power violence stuff sound. This is awesome. And everybody who listens to Axe to Grind could like this. So go check out the Obsolete Man Glory Be to the Bomb cassette available from To Live a Lie in their distro right now. And you can find the Bandcamp. So toliveali.com, go check it out. Tell them we sent you. Guys, what do our friends at Run for Cover Records have going on?
They got big moves this week. Shout out to them. They got a Molina on the roster. And an imprint, a sub-label to put it out.
Summer Shade is the name of the imprint. Again, cool name. I like this. We're getting
cool names. I like the idea of Summer Shade as a pale person like Pat.
Mm.
My super soft indie imprint from Run for Cover, Summer Breeze, is going to come on.
That makes me feel fine.
I like that.
Very Seals and Croft. Thank you, Tom.
You're welcome. So Tony Molina signed to Run for Cover / Summer Shade, and Summer Shade is under the auspices of Madison from Fury. Anybody else? Obviously, Run for Cover.
Yes, has a partner doing it. Maybe Adam, I think is the name.
It's shout LA-based.
Out Adam, LA-based. Shout out Object of Affection. Shout out Summer Shade. I'm excited to see what else they do. Tony Molina.
Putting out an LP on August 12th called In the Fade. I think we've talked about him on here before. Yeah. He writes like incredibly well crafted, like 90-second to 100 to 2 minute pop songs.
Yes.
I think anyone, if you heard anyone that's heard it loves it. He's super talented. It's almost hard to escape Weezer comparison sometimes, but it's so good that Pat can even overlook the Weezer comparison. Is that fair to say, Pat?
Yeah, that's fair. I mean, this is one of those dudes that can, as you said, he basically cranks out songs. If you like Guided by Voices, this is also in your wheelhouse. It's just one of those kind of like pleasant riff machines of a man. Do you know what I mean? I'm not mad at the kind of Weezer by way of artists I actually like sort of thing that he's got occasionally.
It's a you guys both put it well. It's highly efficient, melody infused short songs that are just really, they catch you and has a unique thing going on. I'm very excited for this. I remember the very first Tony Molina 12-inch that came out. I think it was called Dissed and Dismissed.
Yep.
I think, because it made me think Breakdown. And, and this is somebody who I know is clearly aware of Breakdown. It was so catchy and cool and had its own energy going where it was like, hey, this fits somewhere in the space between like lo-fi, punk, and indie, but it's maybe more tuneful than either of those descriptions give it credit for. So everyone should make sure they check out this new Tony Molina record, Tony Molina in the Fade. Go to runforcoverrecords.com, get the limited version while it's still available, and tell them we sent you. Guys, how are we doing? How are you guys feeling today? Patrick, your complexion is looking a little better. You're still a little pale.
Thank you. Thank you.
We were worried before. Have you been getting enough sun?
Yeah, I've been. Listen, people are stopping me in the street and saying, "Yo, you look great. What's up with your body? I wish I looked like you."
Why are you dressed like a D3 assistant coach?
That is what I look like.
You better look like Clint, it's his Kingsbury from the Cardinals. His like fourth brother. He's like, yeah, I bring him along. He like helps the punter.
Listen,
he's more of a lacrosse guy, but you know.
Pat is wearing an Under Armour long sleeve shirt.
My girlfriend's love language is buying.
Dressing you like an adult.
Sportswear. So like, check out these sneakers that she just came home. She's like, I hate your sneakers. Here's some new ones. Nice. I have no idea what brand this is. This could be like Payless for all I know, but they make her happy that I don't look like, you know, you remember the red shoe era where I just wore red shoes for 3 years.
Yes.
Yeah.
So I thought that was a hot look. It turns out it wasn't working for the ladies.
Was that a David Duchovny homage or
you dire?
Such a limited audience for that reference. All right.
That's what we're dealing. Patrick has entered his athleisure phase. Thank you. Tom, how are you feeling? Are you getting too much sun? This is a balmy time of year. Where did this 100 degree weather come from?
I don't know. I'm not getting enough sun. I'm definitely like, I definitely need some vitamin C and D. I've not been out. Work has been crazy. I don't know if Pat's following. I'm sure you're following, but like everything that went on in Buffalo and the stuff that went on yesterday in Texas, it sounds very, very overwhelming. You know what I mean? Yeah. And I think it just seems like everyone just kind of like, well, you know, it's like on to the next because there's going to be a next. And like, you know, I just get, you know, Republicans say one thing, Democrats being like, we got to make this stop. Can you send in $25, you know, immediately to help us end this, you know, catastrophe? And it's like, well, you got me doing that last time and nothing changed. So like now you get nothing and you get it. I hit the unsubscribe button. Yeah. But it's just a lot. So our thoughts, and I mean, that those don't go very far, but for all the folks in Buffalo and in Texas, it's sad. It's scary. I mean, I think like, you know, I got family members that are teachers. I got family members that are going to school. It's like, what the of all the places that you should feel safe is fucking school.
So as a father of two, but one who goes to school, my son goes to a very small school. There's 100 something kids there. There's a police officer stationed at school all day, every day. I have a feeling that's going to be up to 2. By the way, this is a town he goes to where there's the population's under population. The living population of the town is probably under 2,000 because it's so tiny.
Right. It's a summer town, right?
I mean, for the it's a summer town. Yeah. But it's just, it's really scary. A sense of solidarity from everyone on this podcast to anyone who's going through it, because the biggest experience I'm seeing is that people who thought that there was kind of a good and a bad or start in the governing bodies of our politics are starting to really come to the realization that there's not, that it's all a bunch of bullshit and it's really ugly and disheartening, I think. And I'm very curious to see what happens over the next 4 years. Cause I don't think it's going to be good.
No. And just seeing like, the pictures come out, he's poor little kid. You know, it's like, Jesus fucking, you put a face to like the loss and it's like, God damn it, dude. Or like, and the way they do it, it's kind of like, well, you know, it's 9 p.m. If you're still here and we haven't like connected you to your kid, the likelihood that your kid didn't survive is getting higher and higher by the second. It's just like, holy fuck. And just like, the more it comes out, it's like, oh, you know, there was law enforcement there when he was there and they didn't stop him and he went in anyway. It's like, what the fuck? Like, so now you're there and you can't stop crime. So like, what exactly, like, not to get all Office Space, but like, what would you say you do here? Like, if you're there and you can't stop it, then what the fuck's your point?
Yep.
You know what I mean? It's so fun. You know, it's like, you know, and there was a shooting on the train on Canal Street, which is like,
yeah.
Like, I don't remember that. I mean, that's like I barely remember stuff like that.
I don't think that hit national news. I don't, you know, but yeah, locally, yeah. It's like, oh,
some
yeah.
random dude, like a little shooting bit older than me, was going to brunch. Some dude got shot him in the chest. No reason.
Yeah. That was a weird scene.
You know what I'm saying? Like, that's the worst part. If you, like, you hear stuff, you're like, yeah, there was a bar fight. Someone got shot outside. You go, nah, all right. At least it's like, you can kind of put the pieces together. Like,
yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, or if they're, you know, but like when it's just like, random dude gets on the R train in Sunset Park and just decides to shoot people. But like, he's really bad at his job and lights off smoke things first and can't see where he's aiming. You know what I mean? Like, thank God that dude was a buffoon. Like, he would have killed him.
Yeah, religious folks, unlike the three of us, would say there's no logic to the demonic mind. And while I don't have a faith on that stuff, there is something to it. And it's less about trying, you know, like you said, the bar fight, we put it together. And go, okay.
Not great, idiot, but at least it makes, you know, it makes sense. You kind of put it together, yeah.
Whereas like, oh, a 17-year-old, as dark as it can get for someone at that age or ugly, you can't put the logic to, man, hurt, teased, bad home life, abused, whatever it is. You can't connect that to then going like, oh, go to the elementary school and shoot a bunch of children.
Yeah. I mean, there's
no way to logic that. You can say like bad elements, but
This influences of fucking what goes on nowadays when assholes are talking about like civil war and like getting people like riled up. Two people, you know, like there have been three shootings since people started talking about a civil war, and it's affected every, you know what I mean? Like the Asian population in California, mm-hmm. you know, the African-American population in Buffalo. It's like very targeted. It's not like, oh, I just happen to show up in my fucking neighborhood Walmart.
Yeah.
Like he literally, there's like a video. I don't know if you saw the one in Buffalo.
When
he's like going up and down the aisles and he aims at a white guy and the guy's like, oh, no, no, no. And he's like, I'm sorry. Like, are you fucked? Like, you know what I mean? Like, what are we doing here? You know what I'm saying? And like, you know, it just like seeing this sort of stuff. And it's like this, the kid from fucking Texas, it was like on his 18th birthday, he went and bought two guns. Like what kind of like what society has, you know, like I'm not 100%. I'm like 99% sold that you don't need a gun. Because everyone does this whole, like, what if the government comes for you? Well, if the government comes for you, unless you have an army, you're fucked. You know what I'm saying? Like, you have an AR-15 when they have fucking tanks. Like, you're like, if they really want to fuck, you know, and they're like, well, what would the cops do if we didn't have guns? I'm like, well, you aren't helping anybody. You have, you know what I'm saying? Like, it's not like, you know, there's like, you know, every time someone, a person of color gets like shot in the back by a cop that, you know, someone's shooting a cop back. You know what I'm saying? Like that ain't happening. So like I don't know. It's a very sad and distressful time in the United States of not so United States of America.
PK, what's the international perspective on this?
My girlfriend very deeply disturbed by this, kind of additionally disturbed that I wasn't as disturbed. I don't chalk that up to any hatred I have for school children, obviously, just that it is not as shocking to an American.
Right.
Kids always fuck me up though.
Oh, I mean, listen, this is, don't let me downplay it. This is obviously quite a horror. It's just, you know, like it's, as Tom said at the top, we move on from these relatively quick. And you know, there's a lot of reasons that may not be good, but it is a fact. And I'm no different. So she was very disturbed and she also, you know, she was pointing out that if the one time that this happened in Australia, they banned guns immediately.
Right. And they haven't had one in like, you know, well, Christchurch happened, but that was New Zealand.
Yes.
But I mean, even like, yeah, you see like, you know, people were like, oh, there was like a guy went into a school in Scotland and like killed 16 people. They changed the laws and we haven't had a shooting in 9,400 days. Like, it's like, oh, okay. Like this can be done, yeah. But like we're bought and sold. So we're fucked.
I don't even necessarily see it like that. My take on this is not going to make anybody happy at this exact moment because there's a tragedy just unfolded. But
why can't you just be like, no.
I mean, listen, I'm not trying to take away from what happened. This is obvious horror. I think it's more complicated than we're bought and sold. I agree with you that the gun lobby is obviously a mega power and there are politicians who are essentially living in its pocket. I just also think that there's a great many Americans who would prefer to live with these horrors than to give up what they perceive. I don't wish to debate this right now, but what they perceive to be their rights. So I think that a thing that we forget that the rest of the world forgets, I'm picking this up in Australia quite a bit, is being an American fundamentally is not about doing the smart thing. It's quite the opposite, actually. It's perhaps maybe our national identity is about doing the stupid thing regardless of the outcome. And again, many of our listeners are not in that camp. We got people that are heavy on gun laws and all that, but like, I just think that we got to at some point acknowledge that part of the reason that we move on from this isn't an effective gun lobby, though that is a contributing factor. It's really just the fact that a lot of people go, I don't want to think about it, because that's thinking about it is the hard cost of living with these, again, for the purposes of this conversation, freedoms. So I think that it's one of these conversations that a lot of people jump into with like, they're sure they know the answer. Because yeah, it is the no answer, answer.
Yeah.
Right. I mean, well, hold on real quick and then we can get into hardcore, I hope. But, you know, I was really against the lockdown in Western Australia, which was one of the longest lockdowns in the world, because it personally inconvenienced me and I thought it was a violation of their civil liberties. However, at the end of the day, they saved many, many, many lives by doing so. So, what gun people have to acknowledge, what gun advocates have to acknowledge, is that sweeping gun reform would save lives. There is no debate there. Sure. And when they debate that, they look profoundly stupid. The argument, if you're a gun person, is a really hard one, which is the price of freedoms is pain. It goes both ways. It's not like the freedoms are a joy. They're a responsibility. That's the argument that they that is incumbent upon them to make, and today is a very hard day for them to make it. But it's a more complex issue than I see online, is so to say. All right,
you guys want to hit the pit?
Yeah,
let's hit the pit.
Hey, here's a pit report. You know what I went to see on Tuesday, and it was or Monday, and it was fucking incredible.
Turns out,
yeah.
Dude. Oh, you just Bob's just a spoiler. I was gonna let you get it off. I saw your Instagram.
I don't know if you heard about this band. This band Turnstile is gonna do some stuff, dude.
How was it?
Like legitimately, like so. I missed most of the show because I didn't have a ticket.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
So
they sold out 3 years ago.
Yeah, they sold out the Knockdown Center, which I'm guessing is probably about 4,000 tickets almost.
Mm-hmm.
Fuck.
4,000 tickets. It wasn't the tour show. It was Beach Fossils and another band. 4,000 people. 4,000 people.
You know how on this podcast I'm always saying, hey, I'm not jealous of Turnstile. I'm just happy for their success.
You're jealous.
You can't keep saying 4,000, my guy.
you're pushing them to a place.
So then,
let's not do this.
Next day, I was like, man, I was having a lot of FOMO, but like, no, there was no one who would take. I mean, it was like sold out. So like shows already started. My friend, our friend, Brendan Casey was like, hey, you going to the show? I was like, dude, I wish, you know, it sold out, you know, and like our buddy Christian, who books a lot of shows, it's not his show. So like, I can't even get in. And he's like, oh, my buddy just posted that he has a ticket. His friend like flaked on him. And I was like, all right. So he puts me in touch with the guy. Whose name? Also Tom Sheehan.
Yeah.
First name Alex. So I was like, what? Because he like puts me in a group chat on Instagram, and I was like, why does it say Tom Sheehan twice? And I was like, oh shit, this guy's got. I'm gonna get. It was meant to be. So I got there just in time for Turnstile.
Yeah.
And it was literally the most crowded I've ever seen Brooklyn Steel by like double. Mm-hmm. It was like I like walked in and like. at the door, there were people. So I was like, all right, I'm not getting in this way. Like it was packed beyond compare. They open with I Want to Dance with Somebody by Whitney Houston, but literally play the whole song.
Nice.
And you don't realize until that song is on a very loud PA, how joyous and fun, like the vibe just changes. It's just like everyone's dancing. They were push pitting in Worcester, but people get real fucking stoked. Dave Murphy sent it to Morgado that people were like, yeah, I want to dance with somebody, like pushing each other in Worcester. Palladium, right. Never change, bro. Never change Palladium. And then they come out, and like we always talk about like Mind Force having those like riffs that get like the Steve Austin glass breaking pop. That's like,
yes,
I've seen that on a new level when the birds start, people just lose their mind. New songs go over, old songs go over. People are having like the time of their lives. This is like literally like they should be like in a movie, like, you know, like a teenage rom-com, like when like this one night could change it all. Like Turnstile would be the band that played it. They were incredible. Like they sound awesome. Like it's just the production's awesome. They're all going crazy.
Oh, actually, hold on, Tom. Yeah. Talk to us about that. When you say the production's awesome, I haven't seen any of this. I haven't seen any video from this tour. What is
and it's not over the top. They have lighting, which is incredible.
Okay, because I'm easily offended by production. I don't mean to sound like Patty Cross here, but I get weird with anything past lights. Like if you have like an inflatable tiger, did I tell you the fucking conversation? Okay. So, 303's manager is, a longtime acquaintance of mine and one of my friends, very closest friends and a really a nice guy. Right. And, they were allowing me to sleep on their couch for a few days when I got to Los Angeles. And I'm just hearing in the next room, no, it's lasers from the tiger's eyes. And I'm like, this is I had no idea what we're the Dr. Evil. So, well, straight up, it was like Dr. Evil, or it was like a spinal tap.
Freaking laser beams. Yeah.
Lasers from the tiger, like, because it was clear that the guy on the other line was like, you want holographic tigers? And he's like, no, the tigers are physical, but the laser. And I'm like, yo, this is too much. Like for 303, I'm sure it's fine, but like I lose the plot after a certain level of production. Tiger lasers is probably the level for me. That's like too much.
I mean, yeah, and it probably costs a ton of money, but I also think when there's too much production, Iron Maiden notwithstanding, You're making up for some stuff that you're lacking.
Yeah.
This was just a. I didn't know this.
That's the band you're talking about, Pat. Good.
Yes, that's the three. That everybody, that was your 30 seconds of 303. It's a thing that we do here on Extragram.
I think Tom, correct me because I wasn't there, but I've seen a lot of photos. I would call for the size of the venues that they're playing and the amount of people at these shows. It is tasteful to perhaps even minimalist.
Yeah. Oh yeah. Yeah. It's
backdrop and then
giant
a little bit of light and that's it. Yeah.
And
that's it.
And the lights are different color. Like, you know, it's enough. Like they couldn't go up there at the size of the venues that they're playing and just be like, house lights, bro. And like with a little like turnstile, like, you know, I'm playing CBGB size fucking thing. Like they have to have something, but it's not a lot, but I think it's perfect. And like, it fits the mood. Like not that all right, I'm going to sound like I'm, you know, like hello fellow kids, but like they've curated a vibe at these things with the pre-song pre-show music, the lights, the sound, everything is just like it's an experience. And like I've seen this band, you know, 1,000 times playing from the demo on. and they were always great. Like, there was never a time they were like, this band's going to grow into something. Like, you were always like, this band's really great already. Never seeing this come down the pike. But, like, it was just super, super impressive. And it seems like Akulu killed, Citizen killed, Truth Cult killed, Ceremony. Like, it's been a big win for everyone on that tour.
Yeah, it seems great.
I don't think that he would mind me putting this in the air. He's a public account and he's got 12,000 followers anyway. And so people, we've talked about Alex Henry. He's a fellow that plays in Fiddlehead.
Was in Basement before. Yep.
Basement as well. Yep. And he is on this tour documenting it with photographs on his Instagram. His Instagram handle is Skate to Church.
Yeah,
that's good, like follow. As if you were skating to church. And he is everybody that's interested in kind of what's going on this Turnstile tour should check it out, because what he does is he's not taking pit shots. He's taking photos of the human beings that are there. It's kind of like, if for our older listeners, this one seems lost to history. Very like Fugazi vibe. If you remember that whole thing, it was always about the people that were there, not necessarily the thing that was going on. And it's worth checking out. That's the only contact that I've had with the tour. I was actually going to call up somebody on that tour for Patreon content and just have a quick conversation with them where they gave their appraisal. They're playing it at the moment. And
okay. Yeah, we should do that actually.
How much longer does this go? How much time I got to
a couple more days.
Wraps up this weekend.
Right in DC.
That's fine. That's fine. We'll do a postmortem on it with him. I think he's having a good time, because heads up, everybody, unless you are very scared of people playing in front of 3,000, 4,000 people, very fun.
Yeah, that are like open to your shit. And it's like 4,000 kids that are open to your shit. You're not open for Slayer. You're opening for someone who, like, people that are like there for music. It's fucking cool.
Yeah.
That's why I couldn't figure out. So they were on Nardwar.
Yeah, I watched it. I don't watch Nardwar stuff, but I watched theirs.
No, fun. I did too. And like, it was just like, they just seem like very, very nice human beings, honestly. And but they had mentioned, you know, like the dude Greg from Take Offense that is filling in, like he's out in the hallway. Their lighting person, who did have like an incredible job, like, and there was like one other person, and Alex.
Yep.
And they mentioned the like media, and I was like, I'm like, that's a dude from Fiddlehead. But I didn't realize that he was like taking, like he was like kind of documenting, which is brilliant, and like to have that foresight to like, there's gonna be like a fucking, like, you know, probably a concert video off of this at some point, which maybe that's what the two shows in DC are about. But like,
So a friend of mine who loves hardcore, but I would say hasn't truly been active in hardcore since maybe 2000. Mostly a dude who's like, you know, I'm 15. I book shows in 1995. I do bands and did some bands that toured. Hit me up kind of out of nowhere. Yo, I saw Turnstile last night. Me, how was it? A spiritual experience. I'm not even a huge fan. I more respect their artistry and quality than want to listen to it a lot. I'm like, okay. He's like, it was unreal. Unlike any hardcore related live experience I've ever had. 3,000 plus sold out. 2,500 people going nuts. I was at Lollapalooza in 94 and some big alt shows in the 90s. This was nothing like that. I imagine it'd be like seeing 7 Seconds on the Crew tour, but if three big shows were all happening at once. And the album is even better live, and I love the production values of it and think it's groundbreaking overall. And so this is somebody I've never really talked to about Turnstile, who probably tunes into Axe Grind on a very like, I'll put this on for a few minutes. Okay, I'm where I need to be. I'm done. So, you know, I actually thought about it before this episode. It's almost unavoidable to not talk about Turnstile in the position we're in. If we're doing like our random chat, current event style episodes, because this tour has been huge. Seeing videos, Tom, from the show you were at and the show the night before in New York.
Bonkers.
Pat, it's back of the room. People in the back of the room where you'd stand if you were trying to like hold a drink, and everyone's jumping around going crazy.
Yeah.
It was
wild. Fun, like not dangerous way. It's just like, yeah, I was explaining to somebody, I'm like, I mean this like in the most genuine and nice way possible. Like, having seen Rage Against the Machine in like probably 93, like before they were a headlining band, and like seeing them at like Roseland. I saw them before like House of Pain. Right. But it was like right when the only song everyone knew was the "Fuck You, I Won't Do What You Tell Me" song.
Yes.
Yep.
But just like that vibe and like seeing them, they came back like a couple months later and headlined Roseland themselves. That was the same kind of vibe that it was like, you're very rarely at a show where everyone is all in at the show.
Ever wonder what a punch from Elton John feels like?
Or how you'd cope with having turned down the chance to be in Nirvana?
Or what signal Keith Richards gives when he wants you to get the hell out of his hotel room?
Fans of Too Much Effing Perspective don't have to wonder, because they've heard these exact stories and a jillion others on our podcast. I'm Alex Hoffman, former tour manager for Radiohead.
And I'm musician and comedy writer Alan Keller. On the TMEP show, we get guests like Nancy Wilson from Heart, Jeremiah Frates from The Lumineers, and Modern Family's Julie Bowen to tell us things they may have only shared with their therapist, clergy, or a TMZ stringer.
So join us on Too Much Effing Perspective. That's EFFING Perspective. The only podcast you crank up to 11.
You know what I mean? Like, there's definitely young kids, like, you know, TikTok, like whatever people do these days, whatever the new TikTok is. But like, everyone was like present and like psyched. Like to finally see this band for the first time. I bet you 95% of the people there had never seen them before.
Yes. Yeah,
you know,
and so in conversation with my buddy, my takeaway and the ask was, have they, their shows are like that, but they've somehow minimized the lunkhead or macho vibe.
Yes, it's very, very kind of like everyone's safe. Everyone's at this, you know, here's a question.
Still this aggressive, like,
Yeah.
You know,
but like, you don't have to be like, oh, you know, I'd like to be involved, but there's fucking 400-300-pound people. As a 300-pound person, I'm allowed to say that. Like punching people in the pit that like a smaller person, anyone else couldn't get involved because they're putting their physical health. And here's my question. And talking about it with our buddy Julian from Stillsuit. How do people find out about that? Because like rock radio in the United States of America doesn't totally, it's either pop radio or country radio. I would imagine like Sirius is big. I mentioned that it might have been like playlists. Like how does like
huge
the general civilian find them?
I'm telling you, Sirius gets no play in our world. Like it's just not a thing that we ever consider. But I can tell you for a band like Drug Church, it's fucking matters. Like, I don't know how many spins we get on that shit, but
what is it? What is the Liquid channel?
Oh, I don't know.
Liquid Metal. Yeah. I mean,
they play like, if you're in a car for an hour, you will hear Knocked Loose like three times.
Yeah, there you go.
Like, it's the same, you know, like they play the same kind of songs over and over and over again. Yeah, I mean, I heard like we were on a road trip in California with Rachel, and like the only thing that worked was Sirius. Like Code Orange was no exaggeration. Like every 45 minutes, they play that song Mud.
It fucking matters. It's really like, I know that like our listeners are kind of like outside that world, but even stuff like Pandora matters, which sounds crazy because some of these sound like very antiquated or you know, at least last decade or whatever. But the reality is that the people talking about shit are typically on the vanguard. They're like on the new social media platforms, et cetera.
Yep.
But the average human being doesn't have time for that shit. And the average human being isn't like they're not like racing out to be the first person with Twitter's dead. Discord's what's in. Yo, average person is like worried about their bills, man. You know, it's so like,
right. They're not caring about getting the first press. They just kind of go, this is cool. I like this. This is easily found and served to me.
100%. And again, we can have a conversation as we have a number of times about how sometimes the struggle to find something interesting is part of the reward, blah, blah, blah. But like, I'm telling you, as a guy that plays music in front of people, it's nice to have the dude that wouldn't be there otherwise. Nice.
So,
oh yeah.
So just in a, hey, what's this about? Featuring Turnstile on Spotify. Cause we're like, oh, the playlist, right? They're featured on Alt Now, Rock This, The New Alt, Rock Hard, Rock Me Up, and noisy. God. So these are all these ones.
Rock Me Up?
Yeah, let's take a look at what Rock Me Up is about. Last Night, The Strokes, Are You Gonna Be My Girl, Jet, Monkey Wrench, Foo Fighters, Celebrity Skin, Hole, oh, yeah. When You Were Young, The Killers.
How many subscribers? Red Van
Fleet, Pearl Jam. These are playlists, so I can't. But the
likes, it usually says like, oh, 9 million.
It says 612,000 likes, so right. I bet there's a lot. There might say some. Noisy is okay. This one makes more sense for them a little bit. I see Dead, Pup, Joyce Manor, Pillow Queens, Turnstiles right at the top here, Fontaines, Marbled Eyes, Fundabar. So stuff that I am kind of like, okay, I know what that is. Rock yeah, Hard. Asking Alexandria, 3 Days Grace, Hailstorm, Motionless in White, the Immortal, Five Finger Death Punch.
Can we rename yeah. that one? Patrick Goes to Guantanamo.
How about Rock This?
Who Needs Waterboarding?
Mother, Black Keys, Imagine Dragons, Youngblood. Like,
yeah, I mean, Imagine Dragons is big. That's like
this is the 4.6 million likes on this one,
which means that goes into your like playlist section on your like.
This is huge. The conversation. Man, I didn't mean for this to turn into a Turnstile episode, but it's okay.
Sorry.
No. The shows were magical. People are talking about like I have people who have a lot of love for hardcore, respect for hardcore, but like maybe they go to 5 hardcore shows in a year max.
Yeah.
Maybe who are going, you know, this was a spiritual experience, you know?
Right. And it's not hyperbole.
No. Can it go up from here? Yes. But if it goes up from here, we're talking big.
Like,
oh my God, big. And then it's the question of like, what does that mean for hardcore, et cetera? It's interesting. I don't want to get too dorm room. Let's just celebrate this cool moment. We have a couple dorm room episodes coming up that'll be knee deep in shit like this. But shout out to the entire tour. Like you said, Tom, I'm very hopeful that we see a nice wave of interest to all of these bands. You know, like yo, can Akulu come home and go headline a tour from this? I hope so. You know,
they seem to really stand out on this, like yeah. in a great way. Everything that I've seen across people posted across the country and stuff. It's like, I don't know if that's part of like the hardcore kid that we all know is like pulling for Akulu. They may not be pulling for Citizen and Ceremony in the same way because they're established bands. Akulu's like the new, you know, the new quote unquote stuff. So people are pulling for them. But like, yeah. I feel like they've gotten out there more than, you know. Yeah.
All right. On a different topic.
Let's get at it.
The band End It has a new LP coming out sometime this year. I think pretty soon. It's on Flatspot. Yeah. You know, I'm really excited about this band. I think they're great. I can't wait for it. I've had a few people tell me recently that they stole the show when they've seen them live recently. So that's apparently we're Baltimore centric podcast here, but really excited about that.
Did you see the promo video?
Yeah, it's great. Player Hater Ball tribute. We'll say
it's funny. Yeah. Well, it's funny because like, We I'm in a group chat with Nick and MZ and our buddy Brian from Perfect World. I'm like, Brian sends it out. I'm like, I had already seen it. I think it's fucking hilarious. But Nick doesn't get it because I cannot tell you, Nick has never watched Chappelle Show.
Oh.
Which blows my mind because it was such a thing for so long. Like, I could put on Chappelle Show tomorrow and still fucking crack up, you know, more than 99.9% of his current output.
It's a fact.
Which is just not even funny. It's just mean. But like just some of the brilliance and stuff, like the Player Haters Ball, but like the singer from Ended coming out and be like, I don't like your band. I don't like your merch.
Oh, your merch, yeah.
I hate your feelings. It's like, this is fucking great. And like, I think, they're doing some stuff, which I would love to see a debate between the singer and they're doing some stuff with Sheer Terror.
Ooh.
I saw that they're playing up in like Massachusetts, maybe next weekend. They're doing, and they're playing like Long Island, I think. I think they're playing California. I don't know. Hopefully, maybe. And this is literally me being ignorant and not knowing. Maybe they're part of like the second, the last like announcement for Sound of Fear. I literally have no idea. I hope so because I will be present and I would love to see them. Pat, have you watched any Ended videos?
I don't believe I have.
Incredible. Incredibly, like the music is great, and what they do is like the singer has an like amazing like singing voice. But like instead of like sampling like the intro music, he sings it.
Oh, that I like.
It's awesome. Well, one day I was he's singing some song. I go, man, these lyrics sound fucking. I'm like, let me Google this. It was Screwdriver, and I didn't realize he's an African American man from Baltimore. Yeah, I finally been exposed.
So,
and I found my death. I was cleaning out my closet, and I found my Death in June ripoff shirt. So I've literally been totally exposed to all the things that I was never meant to be. So yeah.
So everybody should check that out. It's the 12 inches called Unpleasant Living. It's up for order on Flatspot right now, flatspotrecords.com. This is not a paid endorsement. It's just fucking good. Everybody should check it out. I'm excited for this band. Oh, yeah. Patrick, you were called a neo-Nazi sympathizer.
Yeah.
Yes. For your support of Death in June.
Yeah, not my support of Death in June, my factual statement that the man's not a Nazi. Like,
right.
And for our listeners, that's beyond debate. I actually went to the trouble, thank you everybody, of speaking to somebody who knows him. And for our listeners who care about this sort of shit or are deeply misinformed, this dude has views that you would not like if you're a 24-year-old that's on one, but they're not Nazi views. That's it.
Are they adjacent?
You're going like far adjacent. Like people we know have weirder views than this. These just
we know a lot of weird people. Are, but here, Pat. In Drug Church, next Drug Church song, next single. Yes. You use some imagery or words that are very Nazi. Are you not opening yourself up? Literally, when you were like, they're not Nazis, I Googled a song. Literally, the first lyrics that came up, he says, Sig Heil.
If
you don't include that, unless you're just being a fucking turd, like fake punk that want to be like.
Listen, if you are trying to talk about a thing, you don't have to do it in terms where you're scared that everybody is going to assume that you're being literal. Like David Bowie, it wasn't being literal in 99% of his songs. Granted, he didn't say Sig Heil to my knowledge, but the point
he didn't really go to space.
Didn't really go to space. It's just control. It's this notion that you don't taking people literally when they are clearly doing something to be provocative is you taking the bait. And some people love that. But for me, it's just never, I can't waste my time with that shit. If somebody's obviously trying to get a rise out of me by saying the thing, I'm not going to give it to them. That dude is provocateur, but more than that, he seems to have a singular obsession with a time in history that I think made a very big impact on his family. That's all. Now, again, this man is not my friend. I'm not defending him on any grounds other than
you defended him.
No. I think a core value that I hope a lot of our listeners have, you only hang for the crime you did. Anything other than that is corrupt, straight out. And Tom, you know this from your job.
Why are you
pointing nothing, that? There's nothing fouler than, for example, a prosecutor who says, yeah, but he did. This man's innocent. Yeah, but he did shit like this. You know what I mean? There's nothing foul.
Oh, no, of course.
You only hang for the crime you did. So when I hear somebody say this man's a Nazi, listen, maybe he's got plenty of things about him that you would find distasteful. Maybe you'd hate his ass. Maybe you'd think he's no better than a Nazi, but he's not a Nazi. So just get it right. And as far as calling me a Nazi sympathizer, let me tell you how much has changed in the last 6 years.
Like I'm watching an HBO special. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Hail Bill Riccio. Yeah.
This is
man holding a paintbrush.
Yeah, it's a pencil. I'm doing my Bob Dole. I'm doing my Bob Dole right now. So
Bob Dole would not fuck with Death in June.
I say this all the time.
I'm not fuck with Death in June.
I'm no sort of tough guy, and I'm getting old. But there was a time that if you said that about me, I would say, "Hey, brother, I'm going to come to your house now." That's it.
Yeah, it'd be like legit Death in June. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah,
well, it'd be mad Death in June.
But you know what? I don't ever want to fight anybody. Well, that's partially true, but I never want to
fight people.
No. But I'm saying, like, when I, on the very rare occasions that I've rolled up on somebody, it is to just have the conversation that I feel like, hey man, you're not treating me like a human being. We're going to have the conversation now. You understand? Sure. And I think that I would have, a few years ago, I would have jumped out like that at somebody saying something like this about me. But I really feel to the person that said that, like, I think that you're robbing these words of their impact, because I didn't feel nothing from this. I just felt like, oh, come on, brother. You know what I mean? Like, I've been around this long and I waited to this moment to unveil my Nazi sympathies.
Well,
like,
and
I think you were going too, I think people think you went too soft on this dude, who's definitely, even if he's not a Nazi, he's painting with those colors to get a rise out of you, which is like,
which you don't gotta like. You don't gotta
basest,
like
the basest, most corny, fuck. Come on, bro.
Hey, we can get into all that, but it's just not the same as being it.
Well, I mean, I don't think you're a Nazi sympathizer. I think you like to go like, what's the usual take? I'm going to take the opposite. You are Stephen A. Smith. You are Colin Cowherd.
Yes.
You are like, you're like, I don't even believe in this shit, but I'm just going to say it because Bob and Tom agree. If Bob and Tom say A, I'm going to say Z, because otherwise the show wouldn't go anywhere. So you take in slings and barbs for us and for the listeners so that this podcast can continue. So we thank you.
Thank you, Tom. Is you just plugged into something. It's called good
this
radio.
This is thanks to the soldiers. All of them on both sides.
I still think the band is fucking trash. They could be singing about like how much they like chocolate cake and I'd be like, this is garbage.
Tom, who do you like better? Devin June or Talking Heads?
Yo, give me Talking Heads in his stupid ass suit all day. Okay, I like the letting the days go by. That's a good song. I get it.
Okay,
right. I just hate like I saw him on Broadway and they're not plugged in. Like, all right, fuck off. Just all you just.
All right. So spinning off of the hard left here. A conversation I had recently for both of you. Talking Heads or Motorhead?
Motorhead.
Talking Heads. I love Talking. I know. I mean,
I knew the answer for both of you because, you know, the Talking Heads is the easy one. So we're going to go on a the decision tree here. Tom, you go first. You said Motorhead. Talking Heads or Radiohead?
This is going to – I'm going to go Radiohead.
Okay. Patrick, Motorhead or Radiohead?
Motorhead.
Okay. Tom – Motorhead or Fiddlehead?
I'm going to get called out for being a pose dog, but
not at all. Not at all.
No pose in here. We love different opinions.
Give me Fiddlehead till I'm dead.
Fiddlehead till I'm dead. Patrick, Radiohead or Fiddlehead?
Fiddlehead.
Okay.
Radiohead is torture.
Okay.
Have you heard early Radiohead though? Like guitar based Radiohead is pretty great.
Yeah, and I like the first. Okay, I like OK Computer too. Like but after that,
it goes crazy.
Yeah, when they get all damn, like then I'm out.
Portishead or Talking Heads, Tom?
Portishead.
Portishead or Fiddlehead, Patrick?
Fiddlehead.
Okay. Portishead or Machine Head, Patrick?
Oh, Machine Head.
Okay, Machine Head or Fiddlehead, Patrick?
That's tough. I actually like some Machine Head has some fucking heavy tracks, man.
Like a 10 ton hammer, son. What's that
record? That's the record. Fuck, whatever.
Burn my eyes.
So you're saying Machine Head over Fiddlehead?
Nah, I don't know, man. Because that's the only. Yeah. Well, has anybody, Bob, that you may not have, Tom, I imagine you have. Have you tried any Machine Head material past that?
Yeah, it's not listenable to me. But I mean, they got bigger.
It's not very good.
No, but that's like new metal. But it's like on the cusp of like new metal starting.
Yes. And all right. Sorry, everybody, for this Machine Head rant. But I think that the that record, Burn My Eyes.
It is.
that record has all the hints towards where, like if you ever heard nu metal and you thought this would be cool if it was cool, that record has some hints of that, and then they went in this very, very corny direction. You know how
they got more metal.
But they had to defend themselves after they had to go more metal after they had a rap part on one of their songs.
Oh yeah, yeah, yeah. They went like full nu metal, and now they're like, no, we like Metallica.
Yeah. So anyway, this is all to say that Fiddlehead has two good records. Machine Head has one. So we're going.
Machine Head has like three good songs. One of which is that Left Freedom Ring with a Shotgun Blast, which
it's a good song though.
You're giving it to Fiddlehead over Machine Head, Patrick.
Yeah, because it just by volume. Sure. Okay.
All right, Tom, Fiddlehead or Machine Head?
Fiddlehead.
Okay. All right. Palehead or Fiddlehead? Tom.
Oh man, I really love Palehead. Yeah, I would have to go Fiddlehead just because there's more songs.
Okay. Patrick?
I would normally go with that rationale, but I love Palehead material that much.
You know, Ministry did Palehead songs in this last tour?
No shit.
Yeah, they do Man Will Surrender and I think one other one.
If it wasn't the most pathetic thing I could imagine, I'd love to watch it.
Dude, Ministry's still dope, and they still put up the gate and the big fence in front of the stage like they did in like the 80s.
I don't know.
There's so much processing and stuff, dude. You don't even see him. Like, you don't see Al Jorgensen. Okay. Right. It's just like noise and like they
start. All right. So, of the head stuff we talked on, it seems as though Talking Heads is Patrick's number one with a bullet. Tom, are you taking Fiddlehead over Motorhead? I think so, right?
Oh, yeah, for sure.
So, Fiddlehead is your number one right now. Where of the head bands we've talked about, where would Head PE fall? At the bottom?
The very bottom, yes.
How about the song Headstrong by Trapped?
Right above Head PE.
Okay.
I still want to see Ezek fight him.
Yeah.
We'll take it over Portishead.
Whoa. Okay. Wow. How about the song Head Like a Hole by Nine Inch Nails?
That might be the top.
It's pretty good, man.
Good song.
I think they're the corniest fucking thing that ever fucking played music, and that song rips.
We need to do a Nine Inch Nails theology episode. We'll talk about it. How about the song Head Over Heels by Tears for Fears?
Great song.
Yeah, great song.
That would be like top five, top three on that list.
Yeah, that would be a three slot for me.
Yo, that blows my mind that they're
nailed it. Good job.
They're an arena band.
They're fucking awesome. All right, here's my ratings. Motorhead.
Yeah.
Space. Talking Heads. Space. Head Over Heels by Tears for Fears. Space. Fiddlehead, Portishead. Space. Radiohead. Head Like a Hole by Nine Inch Nails. But that, you guys might have talked me into it. That song could go up a couple spots. Space. Headstrong by Trapped. Head PE. We're very close here. Good job, guys.
You know what we missed out on, which I'm the only person here that probably likes them? Head Automatica.
Okay, yep. They're
Pat, have you ever fucked at Head Automatica?
No, I have not.
Is that the one?
Yeah, yes. I know exactly that. Yeah.
It was so, yeah, it's like Daryl from Glassjaw and dude from bassist from American Nightmare.
That sounds cool.
The records are like, they're Diamond very pop. Head? Diamond Head, which is just like gave Metallica some cool cover songs. what else? I mean, there's got to be other like
heads,
other head bands.
Yeah, there are, but. Are they worth mentioning? I'm trying to think if they're any good hardcore head bands. Head.
No, this probably is. And someone's going to be like, how the fuck did you forget? 100%
yes.
You know,
it's okay. Like, I love it. I love it. I love the energy. Let's see. No. I think we got it, guys. This is good.
Yeah.
Head of David, if you've ever heard the Dust Bowl record, which is, I think it's the guy from... What's the fucker's name from?
Wow, that's aggressive.
No, God, it's not Buckethead.
Oh, you're thinking of Avril Lavigne.
That's it.
Okay. Why are you gonna make it so complicated?
Justin Broderick. It's like Justin Broderick's like it's much more like a band. Than
I'm always mixing up Justin Broderick and Avril Lavigne, so that makes sense. What else is going on in the hardcore world? Patrick, have you gone to a show in Australia?
No, I think I go Saturday.
You go see Speed?
Gonna go see Speed on Saturday. I wasn't gonna ruin it for myself by listening to Speed, but then I must have said the word speed a lot in the conversation with you fellas because my YouTube started suggesting me Speed all the time.
The video's cool.
And the video is cool. Yo, whenever you're kickboxing down the street as a group of human beings, I'm in. You know what I
mean? Pat has a contract written up. He's like, what about, you know, what about your US distribution? Because I got you.
Yeah. No, I'm game. I mean, it looks like Flat Spot is on the job. So yeah, shout out to them. No, it's cool. I look forward to the show.
Tom, what do you got? You got anything else on your calendar coming up for shows?
I'm trying to think. Well, I went to a show that everyone got COVID, which was cool. So I'm going to, yeah.
Oh, damn.
That was last week. It started near you. And then it spread to Brooklyn when that tour came to Brooklyn. So I'm pretty psyched on that. So I'm going to be a little bit more discerning, I think. And I'm trying to think what I got coming up.
So this is the time, folks. Summer is coming. There's festivals. There's a lot of touring happening. We'll start planning. What are you excited for? This is how we wrap it up. We're going to talk about it probably maybe not next week, but in the next coming weeks for the rest of 2022. We're kind of finally out of the fog. You know, shows are happening on the regular. There's new releases, new music. What are you excited for the rest of the year? Let's pump the energy in the room like a Whitney Houston song.
All right, you know what? I'm psyched that the Flex are playing a bunch of shows, and they're playing Brooklyn twice. I'm going to go see the Flex. I'm very excited about that. Yeah. They're doing a record release with, I think it's a Kulu and Combust at Gold Sounds.
Gold Sounds, good show.
That'll
good
be a great show. Show too. I'm psyched. I know for a fact that in the next calendar year 2022, Anno Domini, we're getting a new Inclination LP.
It's cool.
Getting a new Incendiary LP.
Cool.
And a new Mind Force LP.
Yep. Cool. New Mind Force LP. New Enforced LP. New, what was the band? We were just at the End It record. I'm really excited for that. There's a bunch of stuff. What do you say, PK?
I just listened to that. There's a new The Flex record. Am I correct?
Yes.
I think I listened to it.
Chewing gum for years.
This is rare for me. I think I caught it the day it came out. Don't know.
Wow.
I never check out anything the day it came out, but I went on a little mini topic. So in a day I did the Flex, Gridiron, Tower 7, MH Chaos, what else did I do?
Patrick over here.
Yeah. I mean, it's rare for me to check stuff out like that, but I started jogging. So I check everything out now. Everybody's doing good work. Oh, listen. Okay. So
Shout out to the Flex record. Great record.
Good record. I enjoyed the MH Chaos stuff too. The End record, I'm going to be totally frank. It's too heavy for me to really understand.
Comprehend.
It's like just too far into what it is, which I said originally, like, but that was after like a cursory listen. I listened to the entire thing front to back, like taking it all in the other day. And the reason I want to love it because I'm friends with Jay Pepito. He is enjoying his time in this band so fucking much that it makes me love this band, but it's just too heavy. Like it just starts heavy. It ends heavy. And for a lot of our listeners are going to love this this band and Knocked Loose, you know, if you like one, you like the other, right? Like this, but for me, it's just too fucking heavy. But what I was going to say was the least hardcore thing of the kind of music in our world that I've listened to is that new Cave-In, which I'm going to push everybody towards.
People are saying it's awesome.
Listen, it's got classic. Bob, you may enjoy it more than anybody.
I'm really excited for it. I got to listen.
The second half of it is a classic rock record. It's just goes down a classic rock hole and doesn't stop. The band was always on point with the riffs, but I feel like when they were doing the pure, like check out how many pedals we got, a lot of space to this, like blah, blah, blah. I was way out.
Jupiter's great though.
I'm going to revisit it. I did a full cave-in listen through, like everything, like 2 years ago. Yeah. And it was shocking how quickly I lost the plot on this band. When I, Until Your Heart Stops, I think is like all time. You know what I mean? But, but I'm that fella that wants to, if you're doing shit with your career where you're like trying something and you are doing it, then I don't want to be the guy stuck in your past. You know what I mean?
So
I've been trying to get past this record that I consider an all-time classic and enjoy other material. It just never really fully hits. I think every record has songs on it, but I never really loved the full record. You know, this new record is an hour long. I just alienated a lot of our listeners, and it is fucking good. The lowest I could chop it down to would be like 45 if I was being ruthless. That's pretty fucking good. Wow. So like I'm going to advise all our listeners to check that out. And I know I said this to Tom after he made the recommendation, that Gridiron record is really fucking fun. The Flex record, really good. That Tower 7 record, also really good.
Tower 7
record is good. But as I told somebody, it's kind of like two in the pocket for kind of like that style. You know what I mean? Like I just wanted something like a little outside of it. I think they just do that style perfectly. So it's hard to be mad, but like, you know, I was looking for like, oh, when are they going to hit me with some left field shit? And they didn't, it was like straight down the middle for that style.
There's some real cool kind of, crusty hardcore mix stuff going right now. I've been pushing a lot of people towards the People's Temple demo, Brooklyn band. I think it's really good. It's really, really good. Roach Leg Records put that out. Everybody should check it out. I think it's great. It's got that crusty element, but more like that layered over a firm base of US hard, like 80s influence US hardcore without the cosplay. Like that's the thing I think we're catching. Crust is by nature this thing, and it isn't even totally a sound as much. It's a sound, but it's more like that can be applied on top of a lot of different things. And there's a lot of, I mean, I think that Tower 7 record's a good example. There's some other stuff. What was I about to tell you guys?
The Warthog EP is good.
Warthog, yeah, that was the thing.
Oh, it is.
Warthog's really good. The Cave-In, that's what I wanted to get to. I wanted to ask you about Cave-In. You did that dive. I recently, for the In Search of Tracks podcast I do with Pete, we did the second Blitz LP, Second Empire of Justice. And it was really interesting because I worked hard. I went back to Voice of the Generation, the first Blitz LP, straight classic street punk oi record, you know. And you can get, but Second Empire of Justice is post-punk as it gets.
So, yeah.
So different. But on this, like, headphones deep in it, listen, I was like, okay, structurally, the A side of this Second Empire of Justice LP, you're really still getting structural and like song notes that you would have found. And it's like, oh, if these dudes wanted to redo this as a Voice of a Generation style song, you could do that. With Cave-In, you know, there's Until Your Heart Stops, the EP after that, Creative Eclipses, is that right?
Yep.
Yep.
And then Jupiter. Mm-hmm. Creative Eclipses sort of bridges the gap, but it's not. It's way more Jupiter than it is Until Your Heart Stops. Yep. Yep. Do you see, or have you thought about that? Can you find any structural differences or structural similarities, rather, between the Until Your Heart Stop material through Creative Eclipses into Jupiter? Or does it feel like it's a cut? You know what I mean? Like there's a change.
Cut. It feels like a cut. I feel like Until Your Heart Stops is like Riff-a-rama.
Yep.
It's just like, you like riffs? Cool, because we have all of them.
See,
and they're all sick.
This is the interesting thing to me, is there is that space right between those two things, which is Until Your Heart Stops, which is riff filled, metallic, really hard, aggressive. And then where they go to with Jupiter and Creative Eclipses, which is truly post hardcore studio space, finding sound and like riffing into it. Like, and I love Jupiter, and I really, Creative Eclipses you catch me on the right day, I might like it as much because I think love it's that a record. Little, I think it's condensed. I think they nail it. Like,
yeah, it's just an acoustic song, a rock song, and a failure cover. It's like, okay.
Right. It works really well.
Yeah.
But I think there's a space in between those things where something cool could happen. And it always trips me out because I'm like, oh, could there have been this thing? It's tough because you also want to do a new thing. So yeah, anyways, Kaven, go write a record that falls in between those two things and let's see what it sounds like.
Might be this.
It might be this. There's some truly heavy moments on this and of the type that I like where it's like, there's a lot of these songs, as long as they are, still have charge to them. And I really enjoy that. Good choruses that are really forceful. I did not expect to like this record because no disrespect to the Cave-In people who have been doing an impressive thing for a long time. The music videos leading up to this record were the biggest turnoff I've ever experienced of a band. They were so goofy. And look, these dudes are not a thing that's been cool about them. I've said this for years, like the show of theirs I saw in Boston, they were throwing bagels out into the crowd. This is not like a deathly serious on stage. They're having a good time. I've always respected that about them. But these videos were too fucking goofy, man. I was
out. One of them like a horror movie kind of thing.
Whatever. You know what, Tom? It all made me vomit. I couldn't look at it. So it fucking works. These songs work. I was very impressed. Can I shout out to our listener, James, who has become my friend in Perth. He turned me on to a French Oi. So I am down a French Oi hole.
What stuff are you checking out? Because it's a giant catalog of stuff, like huge.
Yeah, it's shockingly. I like the stuff that is really not Oi at all. It just gets lumped in there. Bleach Boys, I enjoyed it, but not as much as maybe James would have me believe. And then I enjoyed the Reich Orgasm record. Warrior Kids, I actually found myself really liking. But then the stuff that is like quite adjacent to all that, that's just like French punk, Camera Silence, I think is how you say it.
Yep.
I heard this record like a decade ago and hadn't thought about it since. The one record, Reality, fuck, to our listeners, superb, brittle sounding post-punk parts into very traditional punk parts, seamless. Really, really fucking good record. Also, crazy story for people that don't know, I believe it's the singer of that band. After the band broke up, contracted AIDS, then robbed a Brinks truck and was on the run for like 20 years, running a record store in Portugal under a fake name.
Wow.
Can you top that? All right, yo, everybody, give us the new stuff you're excited for. We're excited here. We're going to do an episode on that, and we'll bring some stuff to the table. Let's go.
What's up, Axe and Grind? Here's a pit report coming at you from Chattanooga, Tennessee, from the May 22nd hardcore matinee. It's all locals in an alleyway behind the bar that's owned by a couple of old punk dudes in town. Starting the show off first was Corrupted Influence. They're a metallic hardcore band. If you like that, like heavier, just super ignorant shit, they're going to be the one for you. They started off, played a great set, kind of started setting the vibe early. Right after that was a band that shares a lot of members with Corrupted Influence called Lack of Control, playing a little crossover style of hardcore. Once again, they awesome band. They just set the tone even more. After that, we had Hard Way Out, who just released an EP. I believe it's going to be pressed by Iron Sight Records out of Atlanta. This band is shares members of Gum. Actually, I think everyone in Gum except for the singer is in Hard Way Out, just switched around on instruments. They played a killer set. They're truly the, right now, they're definitely one of the top bands to see coming out of Chattanooga. I'd definitely keep an eye on them. They did a Warzone cover. And then at the end of their set, Gum jumped up and played a song, which is a cool surprise. After that was Brute Force. Played a sick set. Everybody was going off to us. It was a really fun time. The rain started about four songs away from the end of our set, so we had to finish it up with no vocals. And ended it with a cover of Punishment, which the alleyway got completely wrecked. After us was supposed to be Late Night Rage. They were not able to play because of the rain. So we have to do an actual rain check on them. But all these bands, pretty much every hardcore band in Chattanooga right now, came together, did a benefit for a friend of ours who recently broke his back, and raised about $300 in cash and a bunch of money on online stuff. So it was still a pretty good success, even though it started raining. All those sets are up on YouTube at Pit Record is the name of the channel that they're uploaded by. So give those a look if you have time. Thanks, and keep an eye out on Chattanooga. Bye.
Yo, what's up? It's Gabe from Boston. I'm going to try to keep this brief. This is like my third or fourth attempt to record this because I keep on getting lost on tangents. Going to do a double pit report, two shows I went to this week. Thursday, May 19th, Sons of Italy, Hingham, Massachusetts. One Step Closer, Pummel, Broken Vow, surprise set by Adrienne, Climb, and Ankle Biter. Doors at 6, I get off work at 6, so I unfortunately missed Ankle Biter because Hingham is located about a 45-minute train ride outside of Boston, and I couldn't really swing getting there in time, not without getting out of work early or some sort of time vortex. Ankle Biter is going to be cool, though, when you hear them finally. Their demo is done, but it's not out yet. Just think like Posse Numbers 2003 shit. If that doesn't mean anything to you, don't worry about it. You'll hear fast hardcore with like good bouncy two-step parts. You'll be with it. Don't worry about it. Climb was the first band I was able to catch. They are basically a Deftones worship band, which basically means that they are like nu metal. And, you know, if you like that shit, you will probably like them. I didn't really care for their music, but I do think that they sound very good at what they do, if that's your thing, because the guitar tone is on point. The bass and drums rhythm section is definitely very, very tight. The vocals are very like drenched in reverb and sound cool for that style of music. It's just not really my thing because I haven't really liked nu metal since I was in high school. And even then, I wasn't really much of a Deftones guy. I was more like a angsty, like, Linkin Park and Korn guy, I'm ashamed to admit, but it is what it is. Up next was Adrienne. Adrienne is a very late 90s influenced metalcore band. If you like bands like, say, Your Kind Host, Tom's band, Indecision, or if you like weird European bands of the 8,000 scene, you will probably like Adrienne. They played three songs because it was a surprise set, two songs off their demo, and they opened with a new song that I think might be the song they put it on the One Scene Unity comp this summer. And that song was awesome. The old songs were awesome. They're a great band. Shout out to them. Major, major way. Broken Vow, Broken Vow, my favorite piece of lore about Broken Vow is that they met in the parking lot at a Magnitude show right before the pandemic really got underway. And they were like, oh, this is awesome. We should do a band. And they did. Because that's kind of what they sound like. They sound like Magnitude. They sound like they pull from the same swell of influences as Magnitude, but they do go a little bit harder with like the mosh parts, which I think is cool. They're also all like really young. I think it's sick that like college kids who were like, I think they started the band, they were still in high school, but like, yeah, like young kids, like in their teens, are still making new bands. Cause sometimes I worry that it's all going to be old fucks like me doing bands and the same like five kids doing bands. But like, these are all like new kids, and it's really fucking sick to see. They sounded very tight, very heavy, and they're a new split with the band Set Straight from Canada, I believe is where that band is from. The two new songs that they have out on that split are really, really sick. They actually closed with one of them just because like the breakdown is so undeniable. Can't really fuck with that. Up next were my hometown boys. Pummel Pummel are my team, my homeboys. It's always sick to see them in Massachusetts because it doesn't matter how many people are at the show, which this show was like moderately well attended. I think that place holds 200 and there were maybe 100 kids there. So that's not too bad for a Thursday night in particular in the suburbs. But like, yeah, no matter how many people are there, everybody just goes nuts for Pummel. They really have New England eating out of the palm of their hand, and I love to see it. I can't wait for them to drop another record and make people at the world at large of hardcore take notice. Pummel plays like his Boston band, but they play very like groovy New York hardcore in style kind of music at times. Their new song has like some Crown of Thorns style music riffs going on in it, which I think is cool. Because you know me, I love Crown of Thorns. They played that new song and people just lost their minds because the breakdown in it was also very undeniable. Great band, great set of dudes. Wishing nothing but the best for them going forward. Last to close out the night was One Step Closer. I bust their balls all the time about how they never played the song As the City Sleeps. They still did not play As the City Sleeps. They really should because I think it's the best song they've written so far. Yes, that includes The Reach. But it was still a really great set. Had a nice flow to it. They played mostly new songs like they have been since the record came out. But went over pretty well. I like the way that every time they play The Reach, people just immediately lose their minds right at the end. I also like that they did something that I've been wanting to do for a while, which is they basically opened with the opening track off the LP, I Feel So. And that song is great, and I like the way that it kind of kicks things off on the LP, and I also like the way it kicks things off live. They just played a little, like, intro, little, like, guitar intro, and then they went right into that song, and it was awesome. Had people moving right from the start. So that was the show. And last night I went to another show, which I think everybody in New England was at, because it was sold out at the Worcester Palladium, all 2,500 tickets, and it was the Turnstile Love Connection Tour with Turnstile, Citizen, Ceremony, Ekulu, and Truth Cult. So I get there right at like 6:30, which is right before Truth Cult is about to start at 7. Truth Cult, I described to them, and they agreed with me as Fugazi that you're allowed to stage dive to, which is ironic because this show did have a barricade. But if you ever have the fortune of seeing Truth Cult without one, I recommend that you get on that stage and jump off it in as fun a way as you can think of. Very good, real, like, angular post-hardcore in the 90s sense music. Like I said, Fugazi, you're allowed to stage dive too. As in, I have good on good authority. Nobody in that band will put you in a headlock and escort you out if you try. Unless you, like, try to punch them or something, in which case all bets are off. But, you know, that's something else entirely. Ekulu proved by rocking that giant stage that they are every bit as much of, like, a real deal, like, heavy metal band as they are a hardcore band. Because people could not believe what they were seeing. I lost my phone on the dance floor for about 30 seconds, and thankfully, a kind stranger picked it up off the floor and gave it back to me pretty much immediately. But that also was my cue to try to be in the quote-unquote parent section for the rest of the night. because I was wearing gym shorts and pockets with those gym short pockets are not good for if you're in a crazy ass show like that. Kulu got a great reaction. A lot of people who had never moshed before were just like trying to run into the middle of the floor and like do back. One kid literally did a standing backflip and sucked the landing and everybody clapped. It was awesome. People were just loving it. A lot of mosh, a lot of people trying to like crowd surf, which I thought was funny, but like at the same time, like that's what you do at these shows when there's a barricade. So fuck it, you know, any positive reaction is a good reaction. Afterwards, ceremony played. I feel really bad because a friend of mine asked me if I knew who was up next, and I told him it was Citizen because I thought it was Citizen. And he was like, all right, cool. I'm going to go chill in the back because he doesn't really like Citizen. But Ceremony is one of his favorite bands. So they start setting up, and the next thing you know, they're playing like the drum intro to Sick to like signal that they're about to start their set. He hears it, and he starts running down the steps to get to the floor as quickly as humanly possible, just like barreling through people. And next thing I know, I see him from where I'm at up top, on top of people in the front, just like trying to like run up on stage and not get caught by security, but still got caught by security, but you know, whatever. But like, shout out to him for real, because I fucked up and he remedied the situation as quickly as possible. Ceremony played a decent mix of the old and the new. I feel like the only thing I can say about Ceremony that is, The only thing I could say about Ceremony is that I really think that they blend the different eras of their music very well in a live setting. So that works pretty well, the way that they play the like post-punk stuff and the hardcore stuff in the same breath. It's not really a band that I've ever really had much of a connection with, but I respect what they do because they've always just kind of followed their vision, whatever you call it, and just done whatever the fuck they wanted. And I always think that's a cool thing, even when that vision does not align with my personal sensibilities. So props to them. And people liked it. I will say that. People were feeling it. I could see it from my little perch up on the rafters of the Palladium. You know, people bouncing. Citizen was up next. Citizen is another band that I don't really connect with. I think it might be an age thing, because I'm old enough to remember when The Killers were actually a popular, relevant band, and it just was not my thing then. It's not really my thing now. That being said, it's very well done. They have a couple of songs that I will like kind of hum to myself. I think they're pretty catchy, but it's just not what I look for, unfortunately. But again, very tight and competent live act, good energy. They have the crowd singing along, jumping up and down, all that good shit. Then Turnstile came on, and all right, the first thing I'm going to say is I think Turnstile might have curated the playlist for in between sets of the entire night, because it was all like insanely good, like disco, funk, and soul music. At one point, right before they started playing, I heard I Feel For You by Chaka Khan directly into Never Too Much by Luther Vandross, and then later on they played Got To Be Real by Cheryl Lynn. Now, Never Too Much by Luther Vandross is legitimately one of my favorite songs ever, so I was literally like in the crowd like singing along to myself. But then when they were about to start playing, they cranked up the PA, and as their intro music, they played I Want to Dance with Somebody Who Loves Me by Whitney Houston at like top volume. People lost their shit, not just because they knew Turnstile was about to start playing, but because this is a good ass song. So next thing you know, I'm looking down from above from the rafters, and I'm seeing like a mosh pit has like now formed where people are like dancing and pushing each other to fucking Whitney Houston. And somebody's trying to crowd surf up to the stage while the Whitney Houston song is playing. And everybody's just screaming at the top of their lungs, oh, I want to dance with somebody. Like, it's crazy. And then the lights come on and Turnstile is walking on stage. And they immediately kick into Mystery. And the place explodes. Like, you just hear every single voice in that room just singing along and screaming and, like, losing their minds. They played a pretty decent selection off the new record, smattered in a couple of songs from the last 12 LPs, threw in a little bit of Canned Heat for the old heads, and that was pretty much the flow of the set. I kind of wish they'd played Gravity, but I guess they're trying to retire some of the older material right now. They did play Drop, though, which, like, that song is just such a banger. I was in the rafters and I was literally like air drumming and trying to not like mosh on people in the mezzanine or whatever, because that's just weird. but I was just like so moved by what I was seeing. They're legitimately one of the most electrifying bands I have ever seen in my life. And they were that way before they were this big. They just have something. They have like a rare quality that I can't fully describe. Just the energy that they give off. Like the fact that they don't have people, 1,000 people flying off the stage because of the barricade, but they still have this presence, this energy radiating from the stage in such a capacity is truly something very special. And I think that that band is destined for even greater heights than what they've already accomplished. I think that they will be playing arenas and stadiums in the span of 3 to 5 years, if I'm being totally honest. So if you didn't go to this tour, you didn't get a ticket to this tour, this Turnstile tour, kick yourself in the head because you are going to live to regret it. But in the meantime, I'm just very happy that I got to see them. All the new songs sounded incredible live. Like I said, I love the way that their singer dances on stage now. He's just like dancing. He's not like trying to like look hard or anything. He's just like busting a move. I think it's sick. Like, I think that band is about fun and it's about like positive vibes and it's not about like looking tough or being any kind of like shithead anymore. So it's a good energy and it's bringing in a lot of new people. I think a lot of people who have never been to a hardcore show, this was their first experience to anything close to it. I actually heard from a couple of people. I was talking to my friend Robin from the band Truth Cult, and he said that a couple of people had been walking up to him on this tour and at this show and saying, like, yo, this is my first show ever of any kind. So I think it's great that a lot of bands, for a lot of people, Truth Cult might have been the first band they ever saw play live music, period, which is great because that's a great band. That's a great band. Ikulu is a great band. Ceremony and Citizen, while not really my thing, are bands that I will recognize are good at what they do and good at bringing people in and having them have a good time. So I think that's cool too. And Turnstile, I mean, Turnstile are going to be the icons of this generation, in my opinion. And I think that that's pretty well bolstered by the reaction that they got last night. And that's pretty much it. Those are the two shows that I went to this week. Hope to go to some more in the coming weeks. Hope everybody has a nice, safe holiday weekend coming up, Memorial Day, by the time that this airs or whatever. And yeah, that's it. Thank you all. Peace be with you. Have a good night.